Now, two myths pervade in terms of popular Western perceptions of the Crusades. First, that the Crusades were simply motivated by a religious desire to liberate Jerusalem. And second, that Christendom ultimately triumphed. The contrast between these myths and reality can be seen in the following. And admittedly here, I'm being selective, but it's to address this kind of contrast. After Jerusalem fell to the Muslims in 638, both Christians and Jews were allowed to live in and make pilgrimages to Jerusalem under Muslim rule. This peaceful coexistence lasted for 500 years. The Crusades were the result of a combination of political events and an imperial papal power play in which Christendom was pitted against Islam, leaving a legacy of misunderstanding and distrust. The Crusades were called for by Pope Urban II, following the defeat of the Byzantine army by the Abbasids. The Byzantine emperor responded by calling upon fellow Christian rulers for help and called upon the Pope to come to the aid of Christianity to free Jerusalem and its environs from the Muslims. The Pope saw an opportunity to gain recognition for papal authority and its role in legitimating the action of temporal rulers, of emperors. Christian rulers, knights, and merchants participated, not only out of piety, and many did out of piety, but also due to political and military ambitions and the promise of economic and commercial trade and banking rewards that were expected to accompany the establishment of a Latin kingdom in the Middle East. The appeal to religion captured the popular mind and support of many Christians who responded enthusiastically to its battle cry, "God wills it." As with all wars, both sides had their heroes and villains. In recent years, the Crusades have often been portrayed as the defense of Christianity against barbaric Muslim warriors. The overly romanticized image in the West sharply contrasts with Muslim memories as well as the record of history. When the Christian Crusaders stormed Jerusalem and established Christian sovereignty over the Holy Land in 1099, they left neither Muslim nor Jewish survivors. Women and children were massacred, and Jerusalem's holy sites were desecrated. By contrast, the Muslim army led by Saladin recaptured Jerusalem in 1187. The Muslim army spared civilians and left churches and shrines largely untouched. Saladin was faithful to his word and compassionate towards non-combatants. Muslim memories of Christian heroes like Richard the Lionhearted are decidedly more negative than in the West. Having accepted the surrender of Acre, Richard proceeded to slaughter all of its inhabitants, including women and children, despite his promises to the contrary. The Crusades ended in 1453, when Constantinople, the Byzantine capital, fell to the Turks and was renamed Istanbul, the seat of the Ottoman Empire. Now let us shift to the Sultanate period. The Abbasid Empire, its caliphate, fell in 1258, overrun by the Mongols. However, within a short period of time, it was replaced by a string of smaller Muslim states or governments called sultanates. They extended from Senegal in Africa to the Philippines in Southeast Asia. As Islam penetrated Africa, Central and Southeast Asia, and Eastern Europe, largely through missionary work of traders and Sufi brotherhoods. Three imperial sultanates emerged: the Turkish Ottoman Empire from 1281 to 1924, the Persian Safavid Empire from 1501 to 1722, and the Indian Mughal Empire in the Indian subcontinent, 1520 to 1857, all of which experienced political power and a cultural fluorescence. All of the imperial sultanates demonstrated a common outlook and approach to state organization, support, and use of Islam, although they were different in many other ways. The rulers were generally called sultan, the one with power, or in Iran, shah, king. Rule was based upon a combination of military strength and religious legitimacy. The ruler served, for example, as the protector and defender of the faith. Islamic law was the official law of the state, even though rulers might also make their own regulations or laws in addition to that. Religion both supported and was supported by the state. The ulama played an important role in the state, assisting in the centralization and control of the educational, legal, and social systems, educating the military, the bureaucracy, and religious elites. They supervised and guided the application and interpretation of Islamic law and oversaw the disbursement of funds from religious endowments called waqf or waqfs for educational and social services.